a hotel chain eyes a Haines location. And Senator Lisa Murkowski talks hydropower. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. An Alaska hotel chain is interested in building a 50-room facility on Main Street Haines. And to do that, Aspen Hotels wants to buy two borough-owned pieces of property where the old primary school once stood. The issue is coming up at the Haines Borough Planning Commission on Thursday when the group will have to decide whether to put the borough property up for sale. Glenda Gilbert with Coldwell Banker Race Realty sent a letter to the Haines Borough in late July saying she has a client interested in the two lots. She writes that president of Aspen Hotels, George Swift, visited Haines in June to look at properties for potential hotel locations. Swift is interested in the 1.21 acres of vacant borough property where the school once stood. But that property is not currently on the market. The Planning Commission decided in April last year, in a close vote, to recommend putting at least two lots west of 4th Street up for sale. The commission recommended keeping the corner lot at 3rd and Main for a town square and designating other lots in the area for snow storage and infrastructure for wood heat pellet storage. Then the Assembly tied in its vote to proceed with the Planning Commission's recommendations. Mayor Stephanie Scott broke that tie to have the lots put up for sale. But then the Assembly reconsidered. In another vote, the group unanimously voted down the motion to sell the two lots. It brought the issue back at a June meeting where the Assembly voted 5-1 to postpone the reclassification indefinitely. But with a party interested in the property, the Planning Commission can vote at any time to recommend the Assembly classify borough property for sale. And that's what the group will discuss Thursday evening, said Commission Chair Rob Goldberg.
It's an important piece of property in downtown. What happens on it will affect the future of downtown.
Gilbert, the realtor, writes that the proposed hotel would be two stories and include 49 to 54 rooms, a 600-square-foot meeting room, employ 8 to 10 people, and have 48 parking stalls facing Main Street. She writes that the development will cost nearly $4 million. She also writes the hotel could provide needed lodging for the community, especially during busy visitor seasons and events, and it would generate bed tax and increase the property tax revenue. And that's why some people are excited at the potential for a new hotel on Main Street. Olrud's Market Center is directly across Main Street from the proposed hotel site. Doug Olrud says it could bring much-needed revenue by putting borough land into private hands and back on the property tax rolls.
If somebody wants to come and invest $4 million in Haines, I think that's a great opportunity. I hope we take advantage of it.
About a year ago, the Thunderbird Motel shut down, and the town lost about the same amount of rooms Aspen is proposing to build. Haines Tourism Director Tanya Carlson said with that loss, the town could support a new hotel.
It would really help if we wanted to grow any winter tourism aspects. If we tried to grow the Alcan 200 or start some cross-country ski races or something that we could grow and get more people here in the wintertime, it'd be really good to have those rooms.
Carlson said the Chilkat Valley has about 236 rooms altogether, with about 160 of those in town. The additional in-town rooms could be easily beneficial during the winter and for conferences.
I think it would be good to replace the Thunderbird. Losing it really hurt with our events particularly because we're that many rooms short and it causes more people to have to camp that may not have necessarily planned on camping. But likewise with our conferences, we're really tight on rooms for conferences because we're looking at that 160 when it comes to a conference. When people come in for those events, they don't want to stay 40 miles up the highway.
Aspen currently operates four hotels in the state, in Juneau, Anchorage, Kenai, and Soldotna. The Haines-Borough Planning Commission meeting is Thursday evening at 6:30 in Assembly Chambers. Senator Lisa Murkowski paid an unexpected visit to Sitka Monday morning, along with a plane full of other Juneau-bound passengers who were unable to land in the state's foggy capital city. KCAW caught up with Alaska's senior senator at the ferry terminal, where she was standing in line to buy a ticket on the Fairweather for the run to Juneau. Without any staff or entourage, Murkowski is calling the trip a vacation, though she plans on visiting 21 communities during the 30-day congressional recess, among them Cake and Angoon. Murkowski is feeling upbeat for co-sponsoring two energy bills, which were passed by Congress in an otherwise deadlocked session. the Hydropower Regulatory Efficiency Act and the Marine and Hydroelectric Renewable Energy Act should lower barriers to the development of smaller alternative hydro projects. She took a couple minutes to share her thoughts on the bills.
Angoon and Cake, as communities right now, are facing 61 cents a kilowatt hour for their energy costs. Now, when you factor in PCE, it drops about 20 cents. But you want to have a fish plant, a processing facility. You can't make ice. If we can't deal with our energy issues here in this state, our communities will never be sustainable. On my last visit here in Sitka, I had a chance to go up to the Blue Lake project and see how you're coming along with that. When we think about the viability of particularly our coastal communities down here, if you don't have access to hydro and the ability to move your power, our communities are just are dramatically impacted. And when you have access to energy sources all around you, and we haven't figured out how we can tap into them for that affordable energy, we just passed the first of two energy bills. They passed on Thursday night. Two hydro bills, which will help with an expedited process for permitting, designed for smaller hydro projects, perfectly suited to help us in states like Alaska where we have so much hydro. I also just dropped a bill with the chairman of the Energy Committee, Senator Wyden, and I, our marine hydrokinetics bill. And again, another opportunity to try to move forward with some of our renewable energy sources that in a community like Sitka, in communities like Yakutat that have incredible wave action, why we're not harnessing more of the power of the tides, of the waves, of our the currents, of our rivers. We've got it all around us. We've got to move quickly to figure out how we can harness it, because otherwise communities like Cake and Angoon will always be vulnerable.
That's U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski on Monday afternoon during a layover at the Sitka Ferry Terminal. After nearly a decade's neglect that turned it into an eyesore, a vacant piece of property right on the edge of downtown Juneau's historic district will finally see a new life. And the new building on the site is exhibiting a blend of modern and traditional Native architectural aesthetics as it becomes a center of Native cultural research and education in Southeast Alaska. KTOO's Matt Miller attended a recent groundbreaking ceremony for the Sea Alaska Heritage Institute's Walter Soboloff Center.
Local, state, and Native officials and elders donned hard hats and picked up shovels to break ground on a new cultural center planned for downtown Juneau. The Walter Soboloff Center will feature 29,000 square feet of space that will be devoted to the research and study of the Tlingit, Haida, and Tsimshian cultures. The building will house education, arts and language programs, archives and artifact collections, and the offices of the Sea Alaska Heritage Institute. Former Juneau Mayor and former Sea Alaska Corporation Chairman and CEO Byron Malott heads up the group raising funds for the center's construction.
This is what ANCSA is all about, to create another giant step in Alaska's Native peoples, contributing their strength and their essence and their beauty and their values and their traditions and their heritage to all Alaska and even to the nation.
First Lady Sandy Parnell spoke on behalf of Governor Sean Parnell, who attended the event but who could not talk because of laryngitis.
Like Dr. Soboloff himself, let this center stand for peace and understanding, for mutual respect and honor, for working together to lift all people up. That by lifting people up, it will communicate to the world the values of Alaska and the values of Dr. Sobolev.
Dr. Sobolev's sons, Ross, Walter Jr., and Sasha, also participated in the groundbreaking. Sea Alaska Heritage Institute officials say they've raised about 75% of the funds needed for the $20 million project. Some of that money included state appropriations or grants from the Alaska Native Education Program or the Cruise Industry Charitable Foundation. The Reverend Dr. Walter Sobolev was a Presbyterian minister and spiritual and cultural standard bearer of the Tlingit people. He passed away 2 years ago at the age of 102. The center's proposed site in downtown Juneau, previously known as the Pit or the Hole in the Ground, was turned into a temporary park after Sea Alaska Corporation acquired the vacant lot and donated it to the Sea Alaska Heritage Institute. Completion of the Walter Sobolev Center is expected for the end of 2014. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.
For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Rob Woolsey and Matt Miller for help with this report. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.